Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home.
My home.
The Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host,
yeah,
a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Sing it for the Scott.
Mr. Scott Whitney. All right. You know, in the beginning of that opening, I like to do the gunshot thing, and it's kind of fun for me because I get to go, and it's fun. And over here on the side, I've got Melissa doing the same thing. Show them what you're doing. See, this is the fun you can have if you run your own broadcast network. Anyways, hey, everybody, hey, welcome to the Living in Las Vegas extravaganza! Nice crowd today. Oh, look at that. The wife's even applauding. You know you're doing okay when the wife applauds. There's a reason for that.
Oh, what? Where is it?
I didn't have it on.
Unbelievable.
I didn't have it on today.
Oh, well, there was a reason for her applaud, but you wouldn't know it.
I don't want to tell everybody about all my goods.
Oh, man, that really pisses me off. I was going to brag about being a good husband.
Well, you still can.
But I got nothing to show.
Husband. Anyways, you're a great husband.
Anyways, this was the Living in Las Vegas podcast, the happiest podcast ever. Now it's a little bit sad because I was going to show you what a great husband you can be. All you have to do is buy your way into greatness, and I can't even prove that that's been done now. Anyways,
I'll verify it.
Well, there she is talking to Mouse. We'll go ahead and introduce her. There she is, my naughty jelly sweet. I call her the steer stirrer. You'll see why in a minute. Melissa Whitney, there she is.
Oh,
there she is, Miss America. Anyways, there she is. Yeah, it's Living in Las Vegas stuff. Website's livinginlv.com. That's livinginlv.com. Of course, you could always try to reach us in a variety of ways. Let's say you want to do the email, which I think is a good idea. Email's all the rage, as the kids say, and you do that by hitting
it's
on air
on,
cue.
Catching on, isn't it?
I think it'll be all right. On air cue at livinginlv.com. Again, that's on air cue at livinginlv.com. If you prefer to hear your dulcet tones on the big show yourself, and I've heard some of you people speak, it's glorious. It's like music. Oh,
there's not so much.
You shouldn't say that. Yeah, it's not very.
Come on,
now that wasn't nice, was it? Look at her. See, she looks innocent enough, but really. Not really. Anyways, if you want to hear yourself speaking upon the show, then you're going to go to 866-966-4599. Just leave a voicemail there. We'll play it on there. All of a sudden, you become famous. Maybe you'll get recognized during the show. It's happened to Melissa. Doesn't happen to me much. Happens to many of our people on the Vegas Video Network, but not me much. Anyways, it's really kind of pathetic in a way. Also... You can reach us in a variety of other ways. Well, how's that, Scott?
It went away.
What went away?
You went away.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't mind attached
to you. Could change your. You could hit us on the Facebook. That's our Facebook page right there. It's facebook.com/Facebook. And also want to thank the good people at LASIK Nevada. Hey, also want to thank the man known as the great and powerful torturer. We call him James. He's over at Studio 222. That's his
Facebook page.
Studio 222 LV. Studio 22 LV off of Facebook. That's his page. Today I got to ride a bike and chase dragons and coins.
I haven't done the bike yet, but I had a big day cardio today, and I felt great.
Did you?
I felt great. Yeah. And, you know, I had to get up early today, and I think my body, I mean, every Tuesday and Thursday, obviously, 5:25, my alarm goes off. But I think I might be adjusting a little bit.
Yeah. Could you scoot to the left a little bit? Yeah. Is it really? That's sad.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't.
Mine is not adjusting, and I still feel like
I wasn't as tired today, and was pretty perky and ready to go.
Anyways, James continues to extend that deal for a Vegas Video Network person. He got another Vegas Video Network person this week.
Oh, awesome! I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, so he's normally $85 an hour, but if you mention the Vegas Video Network, he'll do a free fitness assessment.
Awesome.
And then for his workout, it's only $65.
I want to say, come on, people, let's work out together.
Yeah.
Well, I really don't want you to work out with me, but
right,
come work out with James.
You might want to make that clear. And you definitely don't want to work out with me because I cuss a lot when I work out.
Today's
weather.
I'm sure you do.
I do. I was so tired this morning. I didn't even feel like cussing.
Today you were tired?
Yeah, I felt tired.
You were so tired you didn't feel like cussing?
Right.
Holy but eventually, cow, that's really tired.
Eventually I warmed up, though, and got to cuss. Well, today is 96 degrees. We are definitely ending the joy that is summer. Pool is down to 80.
Wait, what did you say it was today?
96.
Oh, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was chilly out.
It was a brisk 96 degrees. Pool's 80 degrees, dropping down to the 70s here shortly.
I'm not ready. I'm not totally not ready. Are you?
No, I'm not ready.
I'm kind of sad about it.
I'm trying to fight this off. No, give me heat.
No.
It was a mild summer.
We're
going
to have to go on vacation to Mexico or something. I just think it's going to have to happen.
Yeah, so that's sad. Not real happy about that. What's going on, Miscellaneous? First of all, I got to talk about the meetup. Meetup is this Friday.
Woo.
This Friday, September 9th. The official time is from 4 o'clock to 7 p.m. I can pretty much guarantee it'll go on beyond that. Because that's the way we play. It's at Rum Bar, which is on the outside of Mirage. This is the Facebook page for the meetup. We're at about 38. Melissa says she's got a couple more that she knows of. So we're probably going to go over 40 people there, twice, 2x our estimated number. And this all, again, happened because of the live chat. Yeah, this will be the most people we've had right now at one of our meetups. We've had, I think, 4 now.
I have to behave, too,
like
on
last
Friday.
Year, we did one at, what was that place called? Brio. I think we had about 18, 19 folks there. And it was a great time. And
was that a year ago?
It was spring of last year.
Oh, okay, so a little
so
bit.
Over
when
a year
we had
ago.
The limo?
Yeah, yeah.
We might need a limo for Friday. But I have to get up. My flight on Saturday is at 9 a.m.
That's just too bad.
I know. I can tell you really feel bad about it.
I don't, because you should know better. Anyways, if you want to do it, if you want to join into us, I don't know, you're traveling because what, work, business? You want
to
make
money?
The light?
I have to go towards Illinois, so I thought I'd go see my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But 9 a.m., woo-wee.
Yeah. So, again, that's the Facebook page. You'll see a link to it from the Living in Las Vegas Facebook page or the Vegas Video Network Facebook page. Get on there, vote early, vote often, whatever. It was funny, we had Jacob went down there today to just kind of scope the area out where we're going to hang our banner and talk to the GM there. And she said, yeah, we've got you booked for 20. He's like, wait a minute. we have a disconnect. So hopefully we're not going to be the entire, all of Rumbar will be us.
You said hopefully not, or you think
oh,
so?
Oh, boy. And remember, if you get on the list, your first drink is on the good folks at Rumbar. I want to thank those guys. That was pretty cool of them to do that. Some other quick Vegas Video Network stuff. The reason why I'm putting this in the front is because the person who told me not to do that left, quit. So I'm putting it back. You can't tell me what to do. And that is... we put out a press release today. Super proud of this. Livestream is added to Vegas Video Network as a featured live channel.
That's awesome.
Which is a big deal for us. We've,
yay, live. You want to do your
I'm everywhere. I can't be stopped. We cannot be stopped.
Do this.
I can't stop it. This is interesting. It's a good thing. It's been a real interesting test. When we launched the network, we started off with... using what's called a private CDN, content delivery network. And that worked out great, but it didn't give us any reach beyond just the people who knew us from ourselves. And I wanted to be able to reach out. So we tested Ustream for a while. And God, the live chat people hated their chat mechanism.
They did hate it.
Just hated it. And they also put way too many commercials. And they did, I think they're called in situ or whatever commercials, where they actually stopped the show.
Yes.
And put full page, which is weird. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
But live stream is a bit more.
Live stream.
Hospital.
Well, for live streaming, you'll note that there are no commercials on our show at all. They said they would do roll a commercial at the beginning. I don't think they're even doing that.
Well, I'm sure they will.
But they should.
They don't have a
yet. But you'll see no more of the lower third commercials. There's no commercials popping up the rest of the show. And of course they're featuring us on a variety of their home pages from every once in a while.
Which is, you know, what's great about that is the listeners, you know, our viewers, and like that better.
Yep.
And they're featuring us.
Yeah, it's good. So we're really happy to be with those guys. They're super nice people. We're really, really happy. Oh, so what do we do this weekend? You know, we kept kind of low profile in the online world this weekend. We went off the grid a little bit.
We did. We went on a trek.
We did. We did Scott and Melissa do a road trip.
We went was very fun.
It was very fun.
We actually are excellent road trippers together.
In that
did
we
you
don't
have
fight?
This thought? Yeah, we don't really fight at all.
Well, for much of it, we just don't talk.
That's
just
not
drive.
True. I don't think that's
remember
true.
Remember a couple times you said, do you want some music? No, I just want quiet.
Well, no, that was on our way home, but I actually feel like we talk quite a bit.
And by the way, Jackie says that your hair looks great. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
we are pretty good road trippers.
Yeah, you know, we talk about music. We just talk about whatever, the scenery, signs.
Right, we do a lot of that.
No, I'm just saying, we chit-chat. We kind of chit-chat a lot. We sing. Sometimes we sing songs.
Sometimes we sing songs. 99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer.
No, seriously,
you take
good
one down,
trippers.
You pass it around. They're like, what the hell is wrong with these two over there?
No, seriously, you're fun to travel with.
I am
no,
fun.
No, we are good travelers in general. That
we take
was,
turns picking what half of our bodies are going to be naked as we drive. That's fun.
No.
I tell you what.
That's not what happened.
You know, I got a speeding ticket a little while ago, and it really does affect your speed. You know, I use my cruise control a lot more now. But when it's Melissa's turn to be topless, I'll do 95 miles an hour. Nobody pulls us over.
You're
as
so
a matter of fact,
full
the cops go, please follow us. And
you
we got
are
that
so full
rear
of it.
Facing camera back there, and it's like just checking us out. It's pretty cool. Anyways, so we the road trip is a result of our friend Dennis Silvers.
That's
and
right.
His beautiful wife Paula. They Dennis, of course, hosts Golf and Other Four-Letter Words on the Vegas Video Network. And
he's a golf guru.
He is a golf guru, and Dennis invited us to some property they have in Flagstaff, a place called Pine Canyon, who is lining up to be a sponsor of his show. And I wanted to go out there and kind of check the place out. And
they're having a big shindig.
And speak to, you know, see what's going on out there and do a road trip. We've always talked about, you know, when we first started the show, we did a bunch of road trips, talked about going off, and we kind of want to get back into that. So we thought this weekend would be a good way to get that started. So we did.
And spend some time with people we like.
Right. So we headed on down to Flagstaff, and that was about a four-ish hour drive, about 250 miles from here in Arizona, which is a completely different state.
And I have never been there.
Right.
And what were you surprised about with Flagstaff?
Trees.
There are lot
trees.
Of trees. It is a forest.
It's
trees
and grass, which we
pine
hadn't,
trees
we haven't,
everywhere.
We haven't seen many trees and grass in a long
well,
time
I,
here.
Did you think they had that in Arizona?
You wouldn't really think that, would you? But part of the reason is because the elevation of Flagstaff is 6,900 feet in
it
the air.
It's there.
In the air, in as opposed air. To underground. It does snow there in the winter. And when we were there this weekend, it was, you know, mid-80s. Comfortable, nice. It was it's a very pretty place.
Got cold at night though.
Yeah, it 50. Did. Well, it wasn't well.
Was,
the first night, the night that of the concert, it wasn't
hot
bad.
There. Yeah, did you feel like it was just as hot as here?
Well,
sometimes?
Remember you're closer to the sun.
Yes,
we
I
are.
Am,
it's about 20. It's about 2,000 feet here or so.
Still.
And that's, so you're almost a mile closer to the sun ish. It must
well,
be hotter there.
I thought it was deceivingly.
Is that right, by the way?
I thought it was like deceivingly warm. And anyways, it was fun to go there because well, we had to go over the Spooky Bridge.
Right, went over the Spooky Bridge, which is the Hoover Dam Bridge, which you can't even tell is a bridge.
No, but I know that it's coming up, and then my heart starts racing.
Right,
and I get a little.
But you can't tell. I mean, they did a really good job.
No, I know. But in my head, I know.
That you're 900 feet off the ground.
That
you
could over a humongous gorge.
And so, like I said, about 4 hours, we stayed at the lovely Marriott. And the funny thing about the Marriott, it's nice. It's Courtyard Marriott.
And it's really nice.
It's a nice Marriott.
You thought I was going to get a fight. Are you going to talk about that?
Yes, I'm going to talk about that. So we're there. You know, we're on a weekend. It's supposed to be a nice weekend away, trying to take it easy. And Melissa, so the first night we get there and we meet up with Dennis and Paula. And
we got a great dinner at this place, yeah. Josephine's downtown. Right. Which, you know what? Were you surprised at how cute downtown Flagstaff is?
It's very cute.
So cute. Really historic. We like
did an art thing the next morning.
Yeah,
we did that.
Buildings for like the 1800s. Who knew that people had gotten this far out west?
Yeah, yeah. So the Marriott is so funny. So it's a nice Marriott, you know, and we're in there and we got, you know, we're on the second floor. Well, this is the same weekend
really nice.
That a bunch of kids, like a volleyball players.
All kinds of kids. There volleyball of kids players. All over the place. I think so, it's just in general. Holiday. You, there was the county fair or whatever. The demolition
derby was going on down there. Right. It was all big fun. And so we're, you know, we're up in our room. It's the first night that we're there and we're trying to get some sleep or we're watching some TV or whatever in bed. The door next to us, the room next to us, the kids kept going in and out of the room.
Bunch of punks.
And
they need to have
you know those doors. You know those doors where they force themselves close. Well, clearly the walls there are pretty thin because it would go.
Shake our room. It was so loud. It was shake
really
our room, right?
Yeah, it was pretty loud. And
not only that, but then they were knocking on the door. And they were knocking so loudly, it sounded like it was our door. Now, this was going on at 12:30 at night.
So, you know, Melissa is a flower. She's a gentle flower. I have never seen her so quick to anger over anything, because she's usually not too quick to anger.
I was tired. I had just started to doze off.
You're in bed laying there. And she's like, no, she's, you know, wearing her nightgown, whatever you call that thing. So she pops up, runs to the door. She's like, you know, you have that little flap thing that opens in the lock. You can hear the flap go. She slams it open. She unlocks it. She opens the door and sticks her head out. What did you say?
There's a little punk out there.
So it was like a little boy or something?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I was nice. I said.
You were. Okay.
No, I was. I just said, hey, can you try to hold the door when it's closing? Because when it slams shut, it shakes our whole room.
Right. And what did the kid say?
But I was calm. He looked at me and goes.
What did he did? And then.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. He just goes. I opened up the door and his eyes were this big, right? He goes.
I
was nice.
Topless?
I didn't scream or anything. No. I just said
you did have a little edge. You had
that.
You had that.
He's
quiet.
Lucky. I wanted to. What I said, I wanted to smack his head into the door. There. Let's try knocking with the head. Let's see if that works. I think that it was a room full of little boys not being chaperoned.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Well, I think their parents were staying in a room down the hall,
which is why it's a room for little boys. Otherwise, they wouldn't be chaperoned.
It was horrible.
Anyway, so she does that, and of course it got better. No, it didn't. So, you know, 5 minutes later, blam! She's like,
absolutely.
Like, hey.
Well, you know what it is? I'm just in, and it wasn't bothering you at all, which I don't get.
Because I knew what was going on. It wasn't the kids. Every door, our door did the same thing.
You can hold the door.
But
so
who's
going to
hold the door when they walk into their own hotel room? Nobody. So you can't expect a bunch of punk kids to go, we got to, you know, hold the door.
The cranky
because
lady.
Because cranky pants over there is pissed off because she doesn't get her sleepy time. You know, it's
well,
time for her to go to bed.
So it was Saturday night, but I don't care. They need to be in bed.
Yeah, well, so that didn't. So our first night there didn't get sleep. Plus, I'm a flat pillow guy. My pillow needs to be basically
a
pancake. And they had these puffy pillows like this the whole night. Just really
no, you just didn't try enough pillows. They had a pancake.
So I felt it was weird.
You got a pancake the next
night. I did get a pancake the next night. Pillow. So then the other fun part. Oh, so here's one of the things we saw at Flagstaff that I always thought was hysterical. Here's one of the signs that you see at Flagstaff at one of the intersections. You want to go anywhere in the country? You can get there from Flagstaff.
You know, can you see the Route 66?
Yeah,
right? Route
at the top
66
there is,
goes through there.
Yeah, actually,
which is
right
cool.
By the light, the street light there, you'll see where it says Route 66. So we're on the world famous Route 66.
Yeah, it was cool.
And but yeah, we thought that sign was hysterical. Where do you want to go? Doesn't really matter. From here?
Paris.
We can get there. It's pretty straightforward.
They should put up a sign up there like Paris this way so many miles. It would just be funny.
It would just been funny. And that would have been funny. Now, we part of the fun of our time there at the Flagstaff was a little concert. Saw a guy who used to be probably as famous as you could possibly be, a big golfer from San Francisco, a little Huey Louie and the Deweys. No wonder they didn't take off. Huey Lewis and the News played a concert for the folks over there at the Pine Canyon Golf Club Resort thingamabob. And it was kind of fun. You know, they gave out little flashlights, and it was a big stage,
it
and
great.
It was free, and it was lots of food and drink.
How
and
many people do you think were there?
There was probably...
I have my own estimate.
Well, they are estimating 1,200. I don't think it was 1,200. I think it was more like 8.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was 1,600.
No.
I thought it was a lot more than that.
Well, they didn't fill out those back chairs.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I would have guessed, yeah, probably 8. Anyways, so there was old Huey Louie and the Deweys. There he is right there. It's an outdoor stage. Beautiful evening. It was
on their driving range.
Yeah, on the driving range, they built the stage. And there's a band.
That's a serious. I want to know when our neighborhood association is going to put on one of those.
Yeah, my guess is not going to happen. A little close up of Huey, still looking good and thin. I will note that they played everything a little slower than they used to play.
Well,
they opened up. I think they opened with I Love a New Drug or whatever that song is, and it was just a little slower than it used to be. But
I forgot how many good songs they had.
A lot of them. A
right?
lot of good songs.
And when they're playing, I was singing along. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, a lot of good songs and in good voice. They have a nice a cappella part of the show. He's always been kind of a doo-wop guy. If you listen to a lot of his music, you hear a lot of the doo-wop stuff.
Yep.
And they had a little break where they came out, five of them, and did, I think it was one or two songs a cappella. And it was
great.
Perfect.
It was a really perfect night too. Perfect night out, right?
Yeah, it was lovely. So I had a really good time at Flagstaff. And while we were there, we also wanted to check out Sedona. Had heard about it from friends and people, and you just kind of hear about it. And Sedona is pretty close to Flagstaff. It's about 31 miles. And there's a couple ways to get there. You can take the freeway, which in this case is 17, and you actually have to drive about 40 miles or 40 minutes past Sedona to come back into it. There's a little, what they call 89A, a little highway that basically goes along this river that takes you right into Sedona. So Sedona's way off the freeway, the main freeway, but this little 89A takes you right to it. So we thought...
It basically starts at the top of the canyon where Flagstaff is.
Yeah.
And then it winds down the canyon wall, basically, yeah, to the bottom, which is where Sedona is.
Which we didn't know.
23 miles?
31 miles.
31 miles.
Ish. And, yeah, it was. I didn't have any concept of the depth, the elevation difference between Flagstaff and Sedona. I just figured that they're all about the same. No.
No, drastic
huge
drop.
Huge difference, which also led to a large difference in temperature. So it was 80, you know, mid 80s, low 80s in Flagstaff. When we found the time we got to Sedona, it was 100 degrees there. And this 31 mile or so ride took us about an hour and a half.
There's a lot of traffic though with the holidays.
At
I mean,
the
there
end
were
there was
a ton of people up there.
At the end of it, but it's a really pretty place. You know, there's a couple of pictures that we took outside of the car while we were driving. So there's a lot of that red rock look all through Arizona, especially in the Flagstaff, and then going towards Sedona. Hard to see in this picture here, but you know, there is this river that runs along much of this road. And there are people, now this is on Labor Day, right? So there are people everywhere this weekend. So you see cars parked along this road all over the place and people kind of just walking on this road doesn't look real safe.
They're just hopping over rails
and going down the side of the road to these little river breaks. And so there had to be thousands of people out there.
Kids everywhere just walking in the stream.
Having a great time running around. It's really pretty. Again, we were fascinated by that green material. I believe those are called trees, if I'm correct. A lot of trees.
That's a good photo.
In the Sedona area. And this is, as we were approaching Sedona, you could see we had a little bit of traffic as you start getting into it. It's fascinating. We also stopped at a daiquiri. What's it called? Daiquiri Queen? What's it called?
Dairy Queen.
Daiquiri Ice
is your favorite ice cream there.
Dairy Queen for lunch. And, oh, God, I just wanted to kill myself
there.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible.
I think you're just irritable.
They were so understaffed. And Melissa's like, well, where are they going to hire somebody? We're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
hire somebody for the love of God. And they had, you know, we go in there, we order their meal. Sorry, James. Which included a blizzard. Sorry again, James.
And, it was a mini.
Yeah, mini meal, you know, hamburger, fries, Coke, blizzard. And we're like, they're like, do you want to hold the blizzard off until after you're done eating?
That was a brilliant idea.
Well, here's your tokens. And come back when you're done eating. Oh, that's a good idea. So meanwhile, they've got this thing lined out the door just to order. It's one old gal, one little girl making ice cream, and I think one guy, maybe two in the back, cooking, completely overwhelmed. By the time we got ready for our ice cream, our tokens, there's, you know, the line was even longer. They're all this wide-eyed, completely beat the hell up there. So I try to go up the front and go, our tokens are ready. Can we get our ice cream now? She's like, oh, no, you got to get in the line. I'm like, but you got
to
get in the
line.
But so, I kept my token and still have it. So if anybody wants a free token.
No, you know, sometime when we've really been working out hard and we deserve a little treat, we'll go and see if we can exchange it at the Dairy Queen here. Maybe we can.
I've always felt that, well, that was weird that just went off like that. What happened? Hello? Huh, weird. I've always felt that Dairy Queen is kind of like if Pro League was like McDonald's, Dairy Queen's like A or double A.
It's not even triple A. You're full of it.
It's pretty bad.
I used to work at Dairy Queen.
I know, and I'm sorry for that. But
how can you not like, what is better? Okay, let me just put this out there. What is better in the ice cream world than a Dairy Queen Blizzard? What's better than that?
A banana split.
From where?
Doesn't matter.
They have banana splits there. So I'm just saying, what's
they have
better
banana
than
splits in a lot of places, dear?
What do you, in the ice cream world?
Yeah, but they have banana splits all over the place.
Well, I'm just saying, where do you think you might go? Baskin Robbins? Do you think Baskin Robbins is better?
They do have a banana split in Baskin Robbins.
In terms of ice cream joints, what do you think is like the AAA team? And what do you think is the majors?
Baskin Robbins. For Daiquiri Ice, which is the best ice cream in the world, it's got to be Baskin Robbins. It's easy. Jackie says serendipity, which is true as long as you're not uncomfortable spending $85 for an ice cream.
Yeah, we're talking about a $3 Blizzard or a $20 sundae.
So went down to Sedona. This is a picture from at Sedona. Again, beautiful place. It's a cute little town. It's kind of divided into two areas, very artsy fartsy. It's got a shopping area, and then it's got a gallery area, art gallery area. And as you drive in there, you're driving from the north into Sedona. You come upon the shopping area, and then you go through a little bit farther and a little bit farther down. Then you come upon the gallery area, which is really kind of fun. So we ended up doing the shopping area primarily.
But I really wanted to go to the gallery area. Well, but we didn't really quite realize it.
We didn't understand that it was split up that way until we were leaving, pretty much.
Right, and we only had just a couple hours down there because we had to connect back with Dennis and Paula.
Right, exactly. So it was fun, and did you lose? Yeah, interesting. Hold on, let me try something here.
So it looks like we're having a little
problem with the stream. I just started and started again. Stopped and started again. We'll see if that helps it. Let me double check here. Yeah, it's going. Yeah, we're back. Okay.
So,
like I said before, Sedona, shopping area, gallery area. We spent most of the time in the shopping area. Didn't realize there was an art gallery area until after we left. But here, folks, is how to be the best husband in the world. Buy jewelry. Oh, there you go. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Good night.
That was your big tip.
Good night, you all. Yeah, that was it.
You are very insightful.
We're walking around, and I like window shopping like the next guy. We go into this place that it's upstairs, and it's like a Christmas. It's mostly Christmas stuff. I'm like, I'm safe here. I don't have to buy Christmas stuff. It's going to be easy.
It's September.
So we walk up into the Christmas store on the second floor of some place, and the first thing you see is all this jewelry made by
Lorenzo,
who's the same guy who provides jewelry for
Gems for David Yurman.
Yeah, and you're a big Yurman fan. And so we walk up, and the first counter we walk up to is not Santa. It's not reindeer. It's not snow globes.
There are elves up above.
Yeah, they're all over the place. But right in front of us is this Francisco or whatever it's called.
Lorenzo
jewelry case full of jewelry.
Sparkly goodness.
And so I was disappointed that I got trapped in front
of
the jewelry
trapped.
Case. Well, what am I going to do? So
it was a total surprise. You make it sound like I asked for it, and I did not.
I will say this about that. It is actually pretty good-looking jewelry. And I will say this about that. It looks, I thought, better than David Yurman's stuff. And it was about, I don't know, a quarter of the price. I mean, it was unbelievable.
But I'm just saying, I didn't ask for it. No. I was admiring it, and I really liked it. But I really did not expect you to buy it.
All right, so I bought her a ring. Which is right here. Oh, it's not so good that you couldn't wear it. How could you not wear it the first day to work? How could you not show that off?
It didn't match my outfit.
Really? I wear this watch with everything.
I know, but this has a colored stone in it.
All right. Anyways, all I'm saying is, man.
It's gorgeous, though.
Jackie says you have to wear it at the meetup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. That's nice. Anyways, that's how to be the best husband. Whether or not she actually wears the jewelry you buy her doesn't really matter.
It's really, really, really beautiful.
Anyways, nice people there.
And you know what? It was so sweet. You know what? It means a lot that you just bought it off the... I had no idea. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Somebody got lucky that night. And it was those little kids next door who we didn't beat the hell out of them.
They were quiet. They were quiet the next night.
You were in such a good
mood.
They
weren't slamming the doors.
You're like,
I'm
not going to go beat the hell out of those punks.
I actually think somebody else probably complained to the front desk because they were still there and they did not make a peep.
I heard the door close. Anyway, so Sedona is really a cute little place.
And I think they have like a lot of spas and stuff down there.
Yeah, I saw some of those. There were some places that you could have stayed on the way down there.
Little cabins, more rustic.
Yeah, we didn't spend very much time there. I think maybe we were there for an hour or so.
I could totally go back and just go to...
Just go to Sedona?
Yeah, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think
do
so.
Do like a spa, maybe we could go horseback riding. I went there with Darcy, my friend Darcy, a long time ago.
Is that where you got the...
Well, no, but we went there and we were planning to go to the Grand Canyon. So we were camping there and a big storm came and then it was going to start snowing and stuff.
Yeah, right.
So we got out of there. But we spent a couple of days in some campground there.
Oh, there you go.
It was fun.
So that was I said got the, and then Jackie said got the what? Do people know that you have that thing?
It's not to be discussed here. Okay. So let's move on. Seriously.
Here's how to become the best husband in the world and then not. And here's the magic way to get out of that problem. Thank you.
Wow.
That punk at Guns N' Roses got nothing on me.
That punk.
What's that kid's name? Punk. Anyways, this is the
Axl Rose.
Can't even spell his name right. It's R-O-S-E. This guy is in love with you. This is the part of the big show where we read your emails. If it's from a guy, then I'm going to read it. If it's from a girl, then Melissa's going to read it. Girls don't usually write us because they don't like to hear Melissa talk. So this one's from a guy. And this is from Alan. And so I will be reading it. today, Alan will be a chipmunk. Hello! That's just weird. This guy's insane. From Alan. Alan says, hi, just caught your retirement podcast on Roku.
Retirement?
Oh, this is the show that you weren't at.
Oh.
The show is about whether you should, if you're going to retire, should you or your folks retire in Las Vegas?
Oh.
This was when I was going solo because somebody had better things to do.
Yes, and that'll be true next week too.
What? No. Next Tuesday?
Yeah, I'll be.
God. I really hate that.
Tomahawk said no.
No. Anyways, I'm not going to read Alan as sad Alan. Hello. Just got your retirement podcast on the Roku. All right.
I love that he's using Roku.
I know. I'm a big Roku fan. I'm glad to see your podcast here. I'm in San Diego, and we have been looking at relocating in either Las Vegas or St. George, Utah. It's gotten way too expensive here in San Diego. Glad to see you on Roku and be watching in the future. Thanks for the great information. And it was sent from his Android. That's right. We are really connected. And Alan, I actually sent an email to Alan telling him, it's good here. If you're going to retire, if you like the heat, I tell you, the first summer, my mom and her husband moved here in August. And
she was a little cranky.
It's a little toasty here in August.
Well, she moved down from Anacortes, Washington. So,
right, which is a little chilly. It's raining.
A hot day there is 70.
And
it's a little warmer in San Diego.
Yeah, so first year Nancy was a little testy, but she has become acclimated to it.
It actually doesn't say much about it anymore.
No. I mean, the first year she was knocking her air conditioner down to like 64 degrees. 64 degrees.
Like, holy cow!
My mom, that's gonna be, and her house is large enough where it has two separate air conditioning units running. You know, I'm like, this is not gonna be good for you, mom. You might want to dial that back up a little bit. And now it's like 80. She's like, oh yeah, I'm okay with it now. See, booyah! And there you have it. Of course, she's lost half of her value of her house. So now's the time to buy.
What do you think about Vegas versus St. George?
Well, I don't know anything about St. George.
Well, I think there's a couple of things, right? St. George.
Well, first of all, do you pay state income tax in Utah?
Yes.
Then screw it. See, that's my retirement. If I have a checklist for retirement, the number one check is, do I have to pay state income tax? And if I have to check yes, then that state is out of the...
Well, it's not just that, but if you're retiring there and you're thinking about, what is that, the tax on estate taxes here?
I don't know.
Are zero.
I don't know.
But the other thing is I think it doesn't snow in St. George?
Yeah.
So there are some things. And the other thing that I guess about St. George I'd be a little bit concerned about, and Vegas isn't awesome with it, but is healthcare options in St. George. I don't really know how great their healthcare infrastructure is.
It's getting better here. I'm not sure it's.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, in St. George, I don't know. Obviously, yeah. Vegas is a much bigger place, so there's, I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways, thanks to Alan for that email.
Plus, what do you do in St. George?
I don't know.
There's a golf course, and there's some old casinos there, but here you have.
Well, we talked about that on the show. You probably didn't watch the show because you don't like to watch.
I do like to watch, but I have not had the opportunity. We were gone all weekend.
Ray says, what do you do at St. George? Oh, you go to Vegas. You travel to Vegas. Or you just live in Vegas.
Seriously, like, you know, I don't know. If you're coming here to retire and you're, you know, still kind of spunky, you might want to get out there and, you know.
Exactly.
Enjoy stuff.
If you're spunky, if you're spunky, you should come here.
Anyways. Well, I think regardless, you should come here. Yeah. I mean, go to St. George to visit on your way to Zion.
Right. There you go. Perfect. Get a dune buggy. Run around the trees and forests and stuff. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Living in Las Vegas Extravaganza on the Vegas Video Network. We'll be right back in a moment and talk to you about our third leg of the big road trip with your good friend Melissa and your pal Scott. Back in a moment. Guess who's coming to AM 1400 KSHP? It's all the great shows from the Vegas Video Network. Join us on Fridays from 6 to 10 p.m. to get the best insider news and expert views about entertainment and comedy, cocktails and fine dining, living in Las Vegas, the real estate market, golf, and sports betting. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com and KSHP.com for more information and join us on Fridays from 6 to 10 p.m. for the Vegas Video Network Friday Night Features. Welcome back to the extravaganza that is the Living in Las Vegas show. During the break, a lot of comments on the chat. Ted also suggested they might look at Mesquite as well as St. George. We've been to Mesquite. We went there once on one of our road trips. Remember?
I think Mesquite would be worse than St. George.
That's right. I do too. So Ted's a nice man. Sometimes he drinks while watching the show. I'm guessing he's knocking back a drinky period.
Wait, notice Ted's not looking for a house out in Mesquite.
Well, he does own Access Vegas. But maybe Access Mesquite is where the real money is.
Hey, why do you keep calling our show the Living Las Vegas?
Extravaganza?
Yeah.
Because it's extravagant. Because you're extravagant.
Are we going to be, is that our new name?
No.
Oh.
Okay. It's Living in Las Vegas podcast, but it's fun just to say extravaganza.
Yeah, you're just into that word today.
I've been into that word for about 3 weeks.
You're like a little kid. You got a new word, and so you will use it all the time.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to make me, I will. Anyways, so on our way back from the Flagstaff, from the Sedona, we decided to... he's actually working on Access Laughlin. There you go. See, Ted, he's got his fingers in all the cities.
That makes sense, though.
So on our way back from the Las Vegas... I mean, from the Las Vegas, jeez Louise. On the way back from the, where were we at? Flagstaff. Excuse me. We decided to take a break to look at the largest hole in the country.
Well, I have never been to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, so we thought we'd go check out the Grand Canyon.
Well, remember? I went with Darcy to Sedona, and we meant to go to the Grand Canyon, but
you
couldn't. It was snowing.
So instead, you did something that you don't want to talk about.
Well, instead, we went to Tucson.
Well, there you go. And did you see gunfights in Tucson? Oh, they have, like, gunfights?
Not that I remember.
Oh, because you were being bad?
It's just a very long time ago.
Well, you're back then, you were allowed to do that. Now you're much more mature.
So, anyways, I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
Right. So, we decided to go to the Grand Canyon, which you might not know this, but it's actually pretty close to the Las Vegas. Now, I thought there was a north entrance to the Grand Canyon.
Did you research this?
Yes.
Okay, what'd you find out?
There is not.
How many entrances?
There's basically two. There's west and south.
So you must have gone to the south.
Yeah.
Would you have gone that far?
Yeah, sure. I don't think the west was really a place at the time. I think the south was the only place to go, is my guess, back in 2000.
Oh.
So back in 2000, I took my girls, Heather and Savannah, on an RV trip from California through Las Vegas, saw Mysterio.
This was BM before Melissa.
This was before Melissa. Or BM, bowel movement.
Just before.
And yeah, and this is the New Year's of 2000. And we took an RV trip from California, Northern California, down through to Las Vegas, hung out there at the Circus RV camp. And then...
that's a hot place. Or a hot mess.
Yeah, something.
And then we had kids, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, and then we cruised on down to Grand Canyon on New Year's Eve. It snowed on New Year's Day at the Grand Canyon for us. How about that? So we thought, hey, you know, let's check out the Grand Canyon. Now, the Grand Canyon, kids, is actually pretty grand, which makes it well-named. So what I'm going to show you is some distance things here because
that
it
looks
is.
Looks like Lake Mead.
It is.
Oh.
But it's Grand Canyon is much closer than you might expect. So there's two locations that you can get in and see the Grand Canyon. There's the west, which is relatively newer, I think. And then there's the south, which is what I went to before. If you look at this map, you'll note that over here on the left-hand side where my mouse over here, that's Henderson. And you can see Lake Mead is right there. There's Cowville Bay where we spend a lot of time doing all of our boating and stuff in the Lake Mead. And, you know, this is Nevada here. That's Arizona over here. And see that little A right there? All the way across there. It's about 121 miles from Las Vegas to get to A, which is the west entrance of the Grand Canyon. Now, the main Grand Canyon, if I zip out a little bit, whoop, you can see there's Las Vegas here, there's where we ended up going. And down here is the south entrance of the Grand Canyon. And this all this big giant green area here, all of this is the Grand Canyon. So it's pretty big. He says, unassumingly, is it really big, Scott? Is it called the Grand Canyon for any particular reason? No, it's just pretty big. Anyway, so we decided to go to the one on the west because we figured most people, if they were going to go to the Grand Canyon from Las Vegas, they'd likely go to the one on the west. It's only 121 or so miles.
Right.
So we head on out there. Now, it was a little bit longer from us from Flagstaff because we went around the south and came up into the west. But normally, again, from Las Vegas to the west entrance of the Grand Canyon is 121 miles. So we started our road trip. Now, it's a little rainy. It's gray. It's you know, rain and thunder as we're driving into the Grand Canyon.
It was interesting. We don't see very much of that. So
no,
it was,
we don't.
It was
we're not we're not used to that. It was, you know, this kind of gray. And as we're driving towards it, we see all these completely freaky trees. We actually drove through. We missed the picture of a forest of these trees. I think they are Joshua trees, but they're freaky, especially if the whole place is covered in them. These like scraggly, twisted, angry-looking trees. We're not happy being out here. And we were like, wow, those trees are freaky, man. I don't like them. But they're everywhere.
You feel that way about tall corn, too.
Yeah, I do. And so we're driving down there, and we're going towards... Now, this is owned by the... What is these guys
called? Hualapai.
Yeah, Hualapai Indian Reservation are the folks who run the west entrance of the Grand Canyon. So we're driving down this road, and it's smooth, and we're looking at the freaky cactus. And then all of a sudden, it says, hey, rough road ahead. Oh, man, I want to tell you something.
You were irritated.
The worst road ever. And it's not just like...
It was
the worst road. First of all, it's dirt. But it's not just dirt.
There's rocks in there.
Well, it's dirt and rock, but you know, some machine came by and did those little divots. Divot, which I guess provides some level of traction, which is great. But it's like...
What about when we were going around that corner? There was some mud there, and you did a little spin out.
Yeah, I didn't do a spin out.
Well, practically.
I mean, I did a little fishtail. I didn't spin out.
Well, fishtail.
Yeah, I went a little bit of that.
Fishtail. That's a partial spin out.
It's this. That's all that is. So you see this, and this is the understatement of the year award for street signs anywhere in the United States. It was unbelievable. It was nine miles of this nonsense. I mean, complete nonsense. And what was crazy about it is, you know, you're on paved roads. Very nice. And then all of a sudden you're in basically Dante's Inferno of driving. You got freaky trees looking at you. These roads suck, don't they? Yes, they do. When you're driving through that sucky street.
All the tour buses and stuff have to go down that same road.
And then it gets back to regular paved stuff again. I'm like...
Once you go through the gate, it says, welcome to Grand Canyon West Entrance.
Right, and then there's pavement. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? We later learned what was going on during our trip there.
Well, we haven't verified it, but an old Indian guy.
Indian. He had the chest beads on his thing. He's missing all his front teeth, eating a burger.
I go to the bathroom, I come back, and he's made a friend.
He just was sitting, he just plopped right next to me on the bench.
He was very chatty.
Very nice. He goes, and the very first thing out of his mouth was, what'd you think of that road out there? So he was ready. Oh, yeah, that was the first thing he asked me.
Seriously?
First thing. He was.
I thought you brought it up.
No. He brought it up to me. I'll tell you what I think about that vibe there in a minute, but I'm not going to pick on an old Indian guy. So he goes,
super nice.
What do you think of the road? I go, it's pretty crappy. He goes, that's the county's road. That's not our road. We can't do anything about it. They're playing kind of fast and loose with us. We would like it paved, but you know, we're not giving them whatever they're asking for. And they've been trying to get
it paved for years, he said.
Yeah. So I don't know all the details, interesting. Is that right, Ted? Ted says, my understanding is if you break your car down that road, you pay for the towing, which is very much like what they say in Maui. If you drive in the south part of Maui, in that rough road, if you break down, you're in trouble. That would be That's really interesting because for rental cars, that's really interesting because that would, in essence, prevent people from going to visit this part of the Grand Canyon.
Well, that's why probably there's a gazillion tours out of Vegas. I mean, every street corner is selling a tour, you know, to this. This is the location where they have the skywalk thing.
Which we're going to talk about in a minute. So you know, we get through the road to hell. Are we going to talk about
what we encountered?
Yes. So, well, I'm not sure what order to do this, but yeah, I guess we will.
Well, this is on our trip in.
Yeah. So as we're driving there, now this is, you know, we're in the rough road and I'm not in the best
mood. You've been through the spooky trees.
We're through the spooky trees and now we're in more of a foresty area and there's, you know, dirt and crap and it's a little muddy and it's, you know, it's not the best.
It's not the Joshua trees. Now it's more like tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And there's some pine trees out there. And so we're driving along and, you know, looking for critters. And as we're
Well, we kept seeing these cow signs.
Yeah, cows passing. And there's a lot of cows.
Cattle crossing guards.
Right.
And just cow crossing signs. But we hadn't seen a lot of cows.
No cows. And as we're driving around now, see if I can do this. So we're coming around the corner, and I see two steer and a cow. Now, I believe a steer is one of these animals here. You know, the cow.
Do they call that a bull, though? Well, what's the difference? I think one has its, you know, parts and one doesn't.
And that's knocked off. Because this is why we're such great travelers. We spent an hour going, what's the difference between a bull and a steer? I believe a steer has horns.
Well, what's funny is I grew up literally across the street was a cow farm. You'd think I might know, but I don't.
Mr. and Mrs. Educated, we're like, what's the difference between a bull and a steer? Well, I just figured the steer had the horns. You know, those kind of horns there.
They're big.
Like, you know, hook 'em horns. But this little fella here, we saw on the way out, leaving. And you can see he's a white steer.
And I don't think he's as big as the one we saw on our way.
And you can see he's in a good mood. He's just looking at us. He's basically saying, hey.
He's perfectly pleasant.
Thanks for stopping by the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
On behalf of the good people at the Halapai Indian Resort, we want to thank you for stopping by. Please come by again. And sorry for the roads. Move on. Okay. On the way there, different story. So we come up on these three bovine, two steers and a cow. And I could still see them today. The front steer was pitch black and really big horns, little cow in the middle. And then the back one was a really good-looking brown one. It was a brown one that got my attention with really big. You know, it was like the Austin football team, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, hook 'em horns.
Long horns. I mean,
it was like long horns. I'm like, these are some cool. We should take a picture of these cows, these steers. So we're coming around the corner. I'm like, oh man, take some pictures. Now I don't have a camera. I've got my cell phone.
Which are what
all these pictures here are all of us. So we stopped the car so we could take a picture, right? Because that's the smart thing to do when you're around bovine.
And we figure cows are harmless.
Yeah, what's a cow going to do? But it's a steer. Okay. So we stopped the car. Now, here's what I would have done if I were in the passenger seat. I would have stopped the car, I'd have taken the picture, and I would have gone. That's not what Melissa did. Melissa decided she wanted to roll down the window to get a better shot of the fun black steer.
Because it was raining, there were dots on the window.
Right, so she rolls down the window, and we're still slightly rolling, but not really. We're just kind of...
barely going.
And so we roll down the window, and she, you know, she goes waiting for the BlackBerry to become a camera because it's pretty slow to do that. And then the steer freaks out.
He backs up first.
He is this, and he kind of lifts up a little bit.
His back legs, he starts to snort.
He starts doing this kind of a robot thing. His front legs come up like a wheelie.
His back legs are kicking in the air.
And so I see this.
He was bucking like a horse.
Yeah. I'm looking at this in my relatively new car. You know, it's an 09.
Never mind your wife being there with the window down.
So I'm like, holy crap, this steer is gonna gore us. So I say, GD it, Melissa. GD it, Melissa.
So mad.
I'm like, later, she's like, what did you say GD it to me for? I said, I don't know. There was a steer coming at us. I didn't know what to do. You're taking too long to take the picture is what I was so pissed about. So
and I'm going, go, go, go.
So he starts to do wheelies or starts to rev the back wheels, and he's not doing this thing with his head. I look at the other two cows, and they're like, oh, you better go, man. So I hit it. Well, we're on mud and dirt, so the car doesn't go anywhere. So, and I'm like, oh, no. We're doomed. And I literally had these thoughts. If that steer puts his horns through my car, how am I going to get him unhooked? Am I going to drive him to the Halapai Indian Resort? They're not going to like me dragging a cow all the way to the resort through the mud. So I'm like, oh my God. So I was thinking
the horns could come through the window and get me.
Yeah, I was worried about that too. Oh, and I was worried about lots of stuff.
But can you imagine showing up at the car dealership to get like, the car fixed?
What happened to your car? Oh, just going to the
deer
Indian
attack.
Reservation.
I mean, cow attack.
Steer just decided to open us up like a bottle. Can't
oh
opener.
My God, it was
oh,
so
man.
I never seen a cow do that before.
It was
in my life.
So unnatural because most cows are like, we drove by a bunch of cows that are out, you know, out in the prairie.
You think they look nice and friendly.
They're like, as a matter of fact,
this was not a California cow.
Melissa, right, they weren't being milled properly. They're getting beat up.
California cows
are
happy.
Nice, right. Not Arizona cows, especially Grand Canyon cows or steers. They're like, you stop
grumpy.
In front of us, I'm taking you out.
They were grumpy.
What? And it was because we're the couple that drives around, you know, when we see cows in the prairie. Oh, cows. I mean, literally, we say, oh, cows, cows.
Cows
and trees.
Are nice.
Cows are nice. Trees are nice. Rocks are nice. I mean, we actually say these things in our car because I think we're mildly retarded. But I tell you what, you see a black cow steer with things coming out of his head, start to do this action and rock his back feet and come at you, you will step on the gas. I don't care how tough you think you are. So we did. We were off and running, man. And got out of there. We were in hysterics.
No picture.
And we missed the picture of the cow.
Oh, my God.
Of the angry steer.
It was so funny. I just never seen a cow do that.
Man.
But you do a very good impression of the cow. I just didn't know.
It seemed almost.
It was bucking like it was in a rodeo, but it wasn't in a rodeo.
You know,
and snorting. Did you hear the noise it was making?
I could hear the blood rushing through my head as I'm trying to get the hell out of there.
It was
surreal because it almost felt like I was on a Disney ride.
Like a cartoon.
I felt like I was on a Disney ride. Like if you're on, I don't know, Pirates of the Caribbean, and you know you see one of those robotic pirates kind of. You see that? You go, okay. And it felt very robotic. Like, I'm like, what the hell is happening on my little road trip to the Grand Canyon? This cannot be possibly happening right now.
So funny.
So we book out of there. We get out of there. Finally get on the regular road again.
We were laughing so hard.
Oh,
we
man.
Were
it was so. And Melissa's like, let's go do our thing and hurry back. Maybe we'll see them on the way back and get their picture. Yeah, because they're sitting around going,
here,
I can't
I
wait for that
to
enclave
you.
To come back because I'm taking that cat out.
I think I know what happened. So, you know how they say sometimes with wild animals, you're not supposed to look them in the eye?
Oh, you looked them in the eye?
I totally was looking them in the eye.
Right? You're like,
yes. Yes, I was. Picture. I was really looking at him, and he was looking at me. And so, I think because I looked him in the eye,
that was it.
I think so.
So maybe you should be more demure next time you want. Did you look? Did you look the white cow in the eye? You looked him dead in the eye.
No, I didn't mess around. I just went and we took.
We took two shots of him.
Yeah, I know, but I wasn't really staring at him.
So here's your tip.
I was staring. I was definitely. I definitely locked eyes with the cow, and then he went. Berserk.
Right, so here's your tip from your friend Scott and Melissa. If you're going to take a picture of a steer, just don't look them in the eye because they're upset by that. Okay, so we finally get to.
We should Google it.
Don't look steers in the eye.
No, do cows get upset if you look them in the eye?
Clearly
like
they
bulls
do.
Bulls or steers or whatever.
So we
need our researchers.
We do. Please, would somebody please look that up and say if you're really not supposed to look at cows in the eyes? So we finally show up. To the Halapai Resort. First thing you see is helicopters flying in all over the place. It's really kind
of
cool.
A lot of them, too.
They're all over the place. They're just everywhere.
Flesh mosquitoes.
Yeah, they
or
are. They,
hummingbirds,
they fly in, they fly out, they fly in, they fly out. They're all over the place. And this is raining, and it's still going on. There's nobody stopping the helicopters, man.
Well, it wasn't windy or anything.
All right, so we get in there, and the first thing you see, and this is a picture as we were walking up, is this big white bubble building that we think is filled with air of some kind. And so that's where you walk in to deal with these folks to figure out what the story is. Now, when I went to the Grand Canyon back in 2000, I don't remember paying anything, or you know, maybe it was $10 or whatever.
Well, that is
the South, right?
Government owned, and this is Hualapai Nation. Right.
So where we went is this place here, Hualapai website thing, and what we did was they have basically these quote tour offerings, which, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of that kind of play. But yeah, hold on, where's the pricing? Here it is. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4 options. You can pay as low as $29, but actually what it is $45. And what it does is let you see these what is in essence two areas that you can travel to and see stuff. And the two areas are shown on this map. So over here is where you get steered by angry cows. And then over here is this Eagle Point, which has that Grand Canyon skywalk. Right. So that's the first thing we went to. Now,
well, you have to take shuttles. So that's the first thing. Once you go to where that big
white building
bubble
is. Right.
You get your tickets, and you cannot drive yourself in any
white
further
building
than that.
Right. And then, so you walk into the white bubble building, and the first thing they tell you is if you're going to go on the skywalk, you can't bring anything with you. So you're not going to go on the skywalk and take a picture. It's not going to happen. And I will tell you, they're watching you, because I tried to sneak in through the back way. And
of course you did.
And they caught me. So I even tried to use the...
I hear this, excuse me, sir. Because I was like, I'm not going out there. You're going to get caught. You're like, I'm going to say, come on.
Let's just do it.
Come on. That's the difference between you and I. I'm like, go ahead. Fool.
Yeah. So I got caught. Anyways,
like, you weren't even out there 30
No, they were
seconds.
On top of me like muy prontero.
Yeah.
Because this skywalk thing is attached to this big building.
Yeah.
And I thought, when we first came upon it, I thought I could just look, you know, go into the big building. And just kind of look around. No.
Well, it kind of looks like that, too. I have to say it's a little deceiving because I thought that, too.
I think, yeah. So that's why I thought, well, I figured, oh, I'll just go to the back. Well, no. You can't. Don't go to the back. So here's what you do. So far we've learned, don't look stairs in the eyes and don't try to go in the back of the sky dome walk building, whatever that thing's called. So you get to go to these two spots. In the first spot, Eagle Crest or whatever it's called. And I'm not a big fan of heights. I mean, I'm not afraid of heights, so to speak.
I don't really like heights.
But, you know, I don't want to fall from heights. And the most insane thing I've ever seen, and I mean that, is happening at this place. I mean, it's insane. Insane. I want you to take a look at the guy in the white hat off to the right of the screen there. You see that guy? I don't know if you can tell from that picture or not, but his feet are dangling over an abyss that is the Grand Canyon. If somebody were to go up to him and kind of goose him, he would fall to his death. And you can see from the railings there, oh, wait a minute. There are no railings there. You can walk up to the edge of the Grand Canyon, and if you wanted to, take a nosedive right off.
And people do.
And people do. I asked some guy, the guy who basically shooed that guy off the edge.
Yeah, they have a park guide out there sort of monitoring the area.
Yeah, yeah.
And he told us. He's like,
yeah, people fall. People
do fall off of there.
Every year. He goes, one guy drove off the edge. He wasn't supposed to, but he drove off over here and just drove right off the edge. Like, neat. So I'm...
Thelma and Louise did.
Yeah, so I'm watching this. And and it's beautiful. I mean, that's the kind of view you can see there. You can kind of see the skywalk
thing
off the top.
Even on a rainy day.
Yeah, it's really
beautiful.
Pretty. But, you know, I'm looking at this, man. I'm looking at these idiots who are at the edge. And there's nothing stopping them from going over the end.
Well, and you know what I didn't like? And maybe you're going to get to that little cut in the rock.
I think I got a picture of that. Let me see if I do.
There, you know, you're on solid ground. And then this little point where all these people are standing.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually about a 1-foot wide crack.
Right there.
that runs along this whole section that people are out on.
Yeah.
So clearly, this section has detached itself.
Right. You can see the crack right there in the middle.
And they have these bigger rocks now that act as a bridge.
Right.
And the dude said that sometimes people are standing on these rocks and they shift and they fall down into the crack.
It's crazy.
Yeah. They fall down into the crack, but they don't get killed usually.
Yeah, that's good.
Said.
Well,
they get, but they get very, very badly injured.
Yeah.
But they usually get broken bones and ribs and collarbones.
So I was a little.
Can you imagine falling into just a crack?
No, I can't.
How do they get you out of the crack?
I don't know.
Squirt some baby oil down in there and squeeze you out.
I know how. They get that steer, and that'll move you out of anything.
In the butt.
Poke in the butt.
I have no idea. So, it was really scary. Can you go back to the picture showing the crack?
Yeah, there's a crack. I mean, you can see.
Yeah, that's the crack between the two pieces looking down out into the canyon.
Right, so on the left side is where you walked from. On the right side are a bunch of people standing and taking lots of pictures. It's fascinating.
If you had a child there, I would just put him in the backpack.
I don't even know what I would do.
Or a leash. You'd have to have a leash.
So that's the.
I don't know.
That's the. So then the other part is of course this big sky walk thing, and that's a picture of it.
Oh, that's a good photo.
From where all the people are standing, you can see it kind of cantilevers out there. And it's expensive, and we decided not to do that.
Well, it's $29, but I don't really like heights, and neither do you.
Now, this is a good picture. You can see that girl in the brown hat, gray sweater. She's standing on a little peninsula, and if she were to take two large steps slightly to the right, she would fall to her death. It looks like if she takes one step back, she's going to fall to her death. I'm not sure that was the case. But you can see how craggly it is up there, and there is no guardrail. I mean, I was literally, panicked the whole time I was standing there. I'm like, Melissa's like, "What, do you want me to get a picture?" I'm like, "Hell no, I don't want to."
You were very protective, actually. It was very cute. I liked it.
All away from the side, man.
You wanted to be in front of me.
Right, the whole time. And then, so we did take one picture of her. So here's a picture of her. You can see she is maybe 5 feet away from.
And you didn't even like that.
The abyss. And, I'm up on a little bit higher, shooting down upon her. But yeah, I mean, you can see, I'm telling you, if she were to trip, go back a couple steps, that's it, done. I'm going to score me, $500. And to give you a sense of just the craziness there, here's a picture of a gal. I was nervous taking the picture of the person taking the picture of the idiot right there. So these are
had no fear, that girl there. She was from Germany.
Yeah, from somewhere, you can tell.
No fear.
And you can see that she is kneeling on a little bit of a ledge that's below the edge where her friend is taking a picture. You can see that gate off to the side there, that fence is that divides the area where that round circle standio thing is, but she is literally on the edge of the abyss.
Yeah, she's inches
right there. If she were to just slip, she'd chuckle, "This is fun,"
sneeze.
And that'd be it. Sneeze, cough, whatever. I mean, it's beautiful. There's a shot of the Grand Canyon, and there's that's that ledge she was just standing on. I mean, look at that. That's just insane. There's a Colorado River, kind of muddy down there in the back. And here's a shot from where we were before. So you can see now we are where she is pointing the direction from where we came. You can see how it craggles in and craggles out and
goes
back in.
That's where most people are standing out on that little jetty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh my God. I just thought it was crazy.
It made me a little sick to my stomach.
I just thought it was crazy that I let people just jump out there. So I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. So we go check out this is the line to get in, go on that, whatever you call that dummy thing of
a
bob.
There was a queue to get in. I was surprised. Yeah.
And so we decided not to do that. I tried to sneak in, and I will tell you that doesn't work.
You failed.
So they also have, we have an amphitheater, and they do Indian things there. And, so I said, oh, cool, let's go check out the amphitheater. Well, there's the amphitheater, and there was an Indian guy there sitting by a bunch of speakers telling people not to smoke was basically what he did while I watched him. So he wasn't really doing a lot, but if you look a little bit closer to the right, you'll see some teepees. And so it does have a lot of different kinds of teepees and what they're used for.
Yeah, it showed the different tribes.
Right, and that was kind of cool. And so we looked at some teepees, and there's
your... We debated whether or not we could live in one.
There's your... Really? There's your happy
well,
couple.
We did. We talked about whether it would keep you warm.
Right. And there's Melissa being sneaky in a teepee sneak. And there's Melissa peeking. That's a teepee peek. We call that a teepee peek. I just made that
That's
up. That was
funny.
And this is, we're guessing it's either a sweat lodge or not.
Mud hut. I think that is not the sweat lodge.
Yeah. And there's, you know, this is the patented picture that I do all the time now inside. And it's actually pretty well built, a lot of these little huts. And one of the most shocking things that I thought was, and when you touch that, people can hear you rubbing the mic there. It's pretty neat.
Sorry.
One of the things that surprised me is, you know, the Halapai guys go back, what, I don't know, thousands of years, let's say. We were surprised to come upon this rock that had electricity. You wouldn't think that this Indian tribe would actually have found a rock with four AC plugs, but they do. It's pretty cool. Then we got back on our big tour bus. By the way, the tour buses are kind of scary because they're not that far from the edge of the road either.
If you get a crazy driver.
Right, you get a crazy driver because I'm telling you, they're not paying these people very much. Just trust me when I tell you that.
We had one cranky driver.
Well, we had a cranky driver and one good one. And one
normal.
Normal. You know, that bus tips over once and goes, roll, roll. See ya. You're done. Or, right, you know, cranky driver goes, you know what? I want more than minimum wage. Hell with this. You're done. I literally had this thought.
Me too.
If crazy driver decides to go out, how am I going to get out? I don't see an easy out. Well, damn it. This is not.
I'll just walk.
This is not going to be. I felt like it. I was like, come on now. So then we go to the next spot, which is. So God bless Indians, whatever you think about them. When it comes to naming areas, they probably could have done a little bit better. We went to the guano area, which featured, of course, the Guano Cafe. Just so you know, guano is bat poop. So that is the Bat Poop Cafe. I wasn't hungry when we got
that was actually the mining thing.
Yeah, huh? It was the second stop. So it's basically two stops on this. So
was first, that the cafe or the mine?
It's the same. It's the same location.
Oh.
So we, I took a picture of the Guano Cafe because it's the most ridiculous name for a place to eat ever.
That's where you made your friend.
Indian buddy came and said, "What'd you think of the roads?" Beautiful. It was a better place because you could get a better picture without feeling like you're going to kill yourself by taking the picture. You know, this is a shot of the Colorado River, and we thought this was kind of interesting, as in spooky when we first looked at it. Here's this little peninsula that comes out. It's like a little skinny, like here we're on this big round area, then it's a skinny area, then it comes into this big area that you see right there. And we're like, wow, that's pretty freaky.
I don't have my glasses on, but you can't tell, but there's people all over that.
Yeah,
mound.
On the top of there, there's people all over the place. And on the opposite side of that, and here's another picture to give you some sense of how close you can get to the edge to the abyss that is the Grand Canyon. I mean, it shocked me. There was a big rope, barbed wire, and an electric wire saying, get the hell away from the edge here.
Well, we saw people asking some of the guides about it, right?
Close up of that big hump, and if you can kind of see it now, we're going to get you a better picture. There is a mining thing that went on there. It's called Guano Point. And what happened was they discovered guano caves, bat dropping caves. And apparently that guano is useful for a lot of things like ladies' makeup and other things as well.
Fertilizer.
Pharmaceuticals, fertilizer.
And Max Factor in the 1930s used the bat poop in, what did they say? Lipstick?
It was eyelash or eye
mascara.
Mascara
and
right.
Lipstick. They right. use guano.
Yummy. So they built this. Now, they found these caves at the bottom of the Grand Canyon on the floor. And now we're up here, I don't know, 1,700 feet higher or whatever it is. So they built this really cool rig, boink, mining rig that basically wired down people and
well,
these big baskets.
I think it was across on the other side.
And it goes across and down.
Yeah, and a plane clipped, an Air Force jet
right.
clipped the wire.
Right, and that's the still there. It is still standing. It's not doing anything anymore, but there it is. And they had the cable going down there. An Air Force jet came by. The tail clipped the wire, And so they said, that's probably enough of that. And they let the wire drop. And the wire still apparently is in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. So we hung out there for a little bit, looked at stuff, and another groovy picture of the Grand Canyon, Colorado River. And then finally we said, we're done. I talked to our Indian buddy, and that was basically it. And we headed on home. And again, we saw this cow steer who is significantly nicer and friendlier, and we called him Bob. And that was it. That was our trip. It's pretty cool. Like I said, the thing that annoyed me a little bit.
How long is it from? It's only like 2 hours, right?
It's 121 miles from Las Vegas, so it's about a 2-hour trip. I will say this, that a lot of the folks there have kind of a sour attitude. They're not very friendly. And I don't know why. It just is that way. Not everybody. The Indian guy who came up and told us stories of, you know, if our kids are bad, we put, you know, salt in their eyes. And we used to slap rattlesnakes on the head as a game. It was fun. He told us that. I
mean, rattlesnakes and bulls.
We couldn't get away from the guy. We're like, well, we want to go. And he goes, and he's like, well, here's what we used to do when we were kids. Okay. We used to slap bulls on the head. We slap bulls on the head, see how many times you could do that without getting gored. We used to slap snakes on the head, see how many times you could do that. What kind of snakes? Rattlesnakes. Okay. Smart. Good idea. Or we used to run our horses as fast as we could to the edge and then stop them and see who could get to the closest. Really? That's why you guys drink. I mean, good Lord. It just doesn't seem like a lot of fun. Anyway, he's got no teeth and he's eating his burger.
He was really super
very nice,
guy.
But it was like, wow, you guys are crazy. But he was the nicest guy of all. But mostly we're just kind of, you know, sullen and quiet. And
maybe it was the weather.
I don't know. I just think, like, you know, that seems like could be better. So great views. I don't like, you know, paying $44 a pop. By the way, it's a 10% discount if you're a Nevada resident.
Oh, yeah, 10% discount. How much is it at the other gate?
See, I don't remember. It was
the
11
other gate
years
is
ago.
Called what?
It was South Entrance.
South Entrance.
And I think that's their main thing.
And that
I don't
is
think...
run by the U.S. government, and I bet that is a state park, so there might be a...
$15.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. It was nothing. And you could just walk right into the Grand Canyon.
And they
Canyon.
Have guardrails there.
Yeah, it was... I preferred it better, but it was
further
11 years ago and much further from Las Vegas. But like I think back then, I don't think this was.
Well, if you're taking a
developed.
Road trip, it wouldn't be bad.
It'd be fine. Anyways, so that's it. That was our road trip. We're gonna do more of these. I think I don't know where we're gonna go, but it was fun. It was enjoyable. We met angry cows.
We should go to a ghost town.
There's one.
There's just one outside.
Yeah, it's called Mesquite. Thank you.
Funny.
I'll be here all week.
That was good, babe.
Thank you, babe. Well, you know, even a blind squirrel. Anyways, that's it. Well, thank you, everybody, for watching the show. Thanks, everybody, on the live chat. Again, if you want to send us an email, you can do so at onairq@livinginlv.com. That's onairq@livinginlv.com. Or you can send your own voicemail, and we'll play it on the air at 866-966-4599 866-966-4599. Again, thanks everybody for playing. Send your photos to our friends page, and we'll see everybody this Friday night at the Rumbar at the Fabulous Mirage. Looking forward to it, you guys. We'll see you guys later. Thanks so much for playing along. God bless you all, and may you all live forever. Why not? See you.
Credits are happening. She's pretty hot. We're still working on him. Vegas Video Network. I like it. Ticket, 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 ticket